Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, St. John records that you said to the Jews who had believed in you, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And it will be the truth that will make us free." We pray now about truth, objective truth, our own response to it, and how we can make that truth known to others. Because truly, it is the truth that sets us free. One example that I always think of is someone lost in the bush with no way of knowing how to get out. And then he hears some voices and a group approaches and he says, "Thank God, someone can help me to get out of here." And he asks them, "Which is the way out?" And they say, "Go any way you want. You're free." He said, "No, I'm a slave. I don't know the way out. I'm ignorant. I am a slave to my ignorance. How do I get out?" And they say, "200 meters over there is a road." Oh, thank God. The truth sets the person free. Free from that enslavement to ignorance, because he wants to go to a destination. And for us, the destination is heaven. And we happen to know the way. And Lord, you said it. I am the way and the truth and the life. We are on our way to eternal joy with you. And we celebrate Our Lady's Assumption in 2 days. She lived her life in the truth, doing your will, and then you assume her body and soul into heaven on the completion of her earthly life. And she finishes her journey. At all times she knew the way, and it is so consoling and uplifting to have faith, as we do, to know the way to heaven. And there are so many people who do not know the way. And as a result, often fall into sin, including grievous sin, and discover after a while that it is not bringing them the happiness they sought, and they don't know where to find it. And that is why we are needed, first of all, to be convinced of the truth of our faith, this truth, Lord, that you are, as you are the way. And you lead us to life, but true life, eternal life. We are free in that truth. And as you said, too, in this same passage from John chapter 8, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. It's not only the ignorance that prevents people from finding the truth and the freedom and the life, but in addition to their ignorance, they fall into sin because they don't know often any better. And then sin becomes their master. And we read in St. Peter's second letter, speaking about people who have wandered away from the faith and now are enticing others to follow them, whether it be people in business finding ways to practice dishonesty without getting caught and making a lot of money and enticing others to follow them, whether it be young people, and so often this is the case, totally caught up in a life of sex, of drugs, of alcohol, and they think they're free, getting away from those old-fashioned moral principles of their parents and their teachers. And St. Peter writes that these people who are now off the track try to entice others to follow them. They are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the deepest gloom of darkness has been reserved. For uttering loud boasts of folly, they entice with licentious passions of the flesh men who have barely escaped from those who live in error. People who have left that way of life are now living a good life, and they want to entice them back. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a man, to that he is enslaved. And perhaps we ourselves know how easy it is to become a slave to something. It could be television. It could be our book. It could be even good things that simply absorb too much time at the expense of family or other duties. And Lord, help us to get to know ourselves, to see if we are truly free, if we are truly following that truth that you are. And we should always remember that everyone is seeking truth, not false principles that can lead them to momentary happiness. Everybody is seeking truth. And how do we know that? Because everyone has an intellect, a mind. And the intellect has a natural appetite for the truth, is the philosophical way of putting it. But we don't need philosophy. All we need to do is look at ourselves and our own desire to know things. And children who are always asking questions. Mommy, why is the sky blue? Where do babies come from? And we adults want to know things. And sometimes people want to know things that they don't really need to know. My uncle died. Is he in heaven? They just need to know. So they go to a séance so that someone can conjure up the spirit of their uncle and playing into the hands of Satan. But they want to know truths. And adults go beyond children's questions. They ask the ultimate questions. Where did this world come from? How did this universe come to be? Is there any meaning to life? Is there life after death? Is there a God? And all those questions have one answer, and it is God. The ultimate truth, the ultimate answer to the deepest questions that we can ask, and we all ask those questions, is God. Lord, you are the truth. Everyone is seeking that truth. And when they find the wrong way, they realize sooner or later that it is not the way, and then they're seeking the right way. And we, by the grace of God, are in the possession of that truth. And I say, by the grace of God, not that we are brighter than other people, we simply have been blessed by growing up perhaps in a Catholic family and learning the truth from childhood or discovering it later, perhaps through a friend or a book or whatever. And the Second Vatican Council says, it is in accordance with their dignity that all men, because they are persons, that is, beings endowed with reason and free will, and therefore bearing personal responsibility, are both impelled by their nature and bound by a moral obligation to seek the truth, especially religious truth. They are impelled by their nature. It's human nature that seeks truth, but also bound by a moral obligation to seek truth, especially religious truth. They are also bound to adhere to the truth once they come to know it and direct their whole lives in accordance with the demands of truth. And what we realize, and some people don't, is that truth is objective. About any object, one can say, there is truth. This is an altar. That is a candlestick. That is a light. That is a vase of flowers. It's not anything else. It's objective truth about it. Just as there is objective truth in religious matters, there is a God. There is life after death. God is three persons in one, which we know by revelation. Everything has a truth about it. There is a nature, and there is a truth with respect to that nature. And just as objects have truth, so do actions. And whether the actions are in keeping with man's true good or not, we can say that the action is morally good when it is in keeping with our true nature, or it is morally bad when it is harmful to our true nature. Morality is objective, and it is not merely the declaration of God. Yes, God has revealed his Ten Commandments, but he did that, as the First Vatican Council said, so that these naturally known truths, or naturally knowable truths at least, can be known easily by all with firm certitude and no mixture of error. Lord, because you saw us searching for truth and sometimes not finding it, you revealed your truth so that we could all know this truth easily, with firm certainty, and no mixture of error. And you reveal the Ten Commandments, which were truths of the natural law, so that we could know them, because these moral laws lead us to life, lead us to happiness. And we are blessed by being Catholics, having the divine revelation that God has given us to confirm what reason alone can know as regards many of these truths. But once God has revealed them, then we are absolutely certain. Before, we were very certain, because reason had told us there has to be a God. But when God reveals himself, then we are anchored more firmly in that truth. And we could have known by reason alone there's life after death, because the soul, after all, is spiritual. It's a spiritual substance. It lives on when the body is buried. But we wouldn't have known without revelation what that life after death is like. And now we know it is heaven, but also there's a hell and a purgatory. But our revelation, our faith, gives us that firm certainty of so many truths, some we knew before by reason, and others we could not possibly have known. And when so many people are wandering and looking for truth, we have it by the grace of God. And Lord, help us to value our faith, to realize this is our most priceless possession. If we were to lose faith, we would lose you, we would lose everything. To cling to our faith, to avoid anything that can endanger it, whether it is reading certain books or watching certain television programs or talking with certain people, they might be a danger to our faith. We don't want to risk that. At the same time, we should do everything to strengthen our faith. Make acts of faith when we're going up to receive communion and the devil comes with the doubt, ah, oh, it's just a piece of bread. And we say, Lord, I believe firmly it is you. You said so. Take indeed, this is my body. Increase my faith. Whenever we are tempted to deny some truth or to doubt it, that we reaffirm it with an act of faith. We say with that father of the young boy that our Lord was going to cast the devil out of, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Increase my faith. And we come to you who are the truth. And we come to your church who teaches the truth in your name, preserves the truth that you have revealed, interprets it authentically, because there can be many different ways of interpreting, for example, the Bible. We have tens of thousands of Protestant denominations because they have often differed over the interpretation of some passage, and they keep dividing more and more. While the Catholic Church, with its 1.2 billion members, continues firmly forward in the one truth that you are, that you passed on to your church, gave the assistance of the Holy Spirit to keep the church in the truth. And we have learned that truth over the ages, over the years, by various means, from our parents, from our teachers, from priests. And we have to cling to that faith, cling to that truth that shows us the way to heaven. And ultimately, Lord, you are the truth. God is the answer. You know everything because you created everything. You know its nature. You know all truth. We are still discovering the truth. And even in science, and sometimes people think scientists know everything, and they are the first ones to say how little they know. And the more they discover, and they're making constant discoveries, the more they realize there is still to learn. And today, so many people have problems with the truth. Some that are looking for it, knowing that it must exist and not finding it. Others doubting that there can be objective truth, and they deny that truth is objective. And this is postmodernism. Truth for them is relative. Ah, that's your truth. That's your Catholic truth. I have my own. No, there's only one truth about anything, about whether you and I are human beings, about whether there is a God, about whether that particular action is morally sinful or meritorious. There's objective truth. And lives depend on this. Happiness here and eternal salvation depends on finding that truth. And today, so many denying that there is truth, or simply not caring about it, pursue what becomes a lie, and end up in that great depravity that St. Paul describes, and it's as if he were describing our own generation. He speaks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. How many people looking at creation see the Creator, even though he's invisible? And St. Paul goes on, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, these are the great intellectuals of our day, those aggressive atheists who are so foolish. And really the Old Testament already said it. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Only the fool could come up with that. And my trips to Newcastle, I've listened to various CDs, and one was Peter Kreeft, the professor of philosophy at Boston College. And he talked about some Europeans that went to Africa, and they were telling them about how people live and think in Europe. And they mentioned that we have people who don't believe in God. We call them atheists. And the Africans could not get their mind around someone who didn't believe in God. And they asked, you mean they're blind and deaf? Like, if someone has eyes and ears, he has to believe in God. For these good African people who have common sense. And these are the people of today. And we go on with St. Paul. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And St. Paul relates all of that to abandoning the truth. And we see that so often today. What can we do? First of all, to be convinced that truth is objective. It is not what you make of it. It is the reality of things. The nature of things, the nature of actions, and to know there is objective truth about everything, and that God is the ultimate truth. And secondly, to be very grateful for having the fullness of truth as Catholics, the fullness of truth that comes from reason, that has been so laid out for us by great philosophers like Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine. They were theologians too, but they have shown us what can be known by reason alone, and then that truth that comes from revelation that the Church preserves, interprets, and passes on. Now we know that truth. And then to seek the truth about ourselves, because in a sense we don't know ourselves very well. And when husbands and even children tell us things that we find a little bit hurtful, we have to realize that's the way they see it. And they see something in us that maybe we didn't see. Those faults that we thought maybe we had overcome or we didn't know we had. And to listen to others when they criticize us, because they will reveal things about ourselves that we really didn't know. And in our prayer, in our examination of conscience, ask our Lord for light. Please help me to know myself. And St. Augustine said that in that famous little phrase in Latin, novertim mei, novertim te, that I may know myself, that I may know you, God, to be sincere, because one day we will face you in the judgment. And you will judge us not by the way we saw ourselves, but by the way you saw us, in terms of all the graces that you've given us. All will be laid bare in that great light that you will give us, and we will see how we have lived. And it is so important to live in the truth, not only about God, not only about morality, but about ourselves. And then to live by that truth. And yes, we sin too. And then we are not living by the truth. And it is easy to sin. There's plenty of temptations. But to struggle against them. Because as St. Peter says, the more we sin, the more we become enslaved to sin. And sometimes people cannot get out of those addictions. It can be very difficult. And the more we live a moral life, the more we are forming good habits and virtues which facilitate the doing of good actions rather than vices which form with every sin that we commit. We can live in the truth if we struggle to do what is right, to avoid what is wrong, and to come to know the truth about God, the Church, all the truths of faith. The year of faith approaches beginning in October. It is a great opportunity to get to know our faith better. We can never say, oh, I know the basic truths. We can say that. But there's so much more, so many beautiful truths of our faith that perhaps we didn't know. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is a great compendium of Catholic belief today. And if we read the Catechism, study it, maybe get together in various groups, and in the year of faith, simply go through the Catechism, discussing it, so that we learn it, then we are in a position both to strengthen our own faith in this beauty of truth that we learn, and also to pass on those truths to others. And that was our final point. We cannot remain with this treasure of Catholic truth that we have, but to pass it on. We cannot take the talent that God has given us and bury it. There's so many people, starting in our own families, who need to know these truths. And then our friends. And then the children of our friends. And we can reach many people, knowing the truth, knowing the faith, passing it on to others. And we go to St. Paul, writing to Timothy in his second letter. Preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching, to pass on this truth. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. It is certainly well and truly here. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to make up their own truth. It will be easier to live by. It will be easier to believe. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be ready, always be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Teach this truth in season and out of season. And again, Lord, we thank you for giving us the fullness of truth that you are. Help us to value it, to treasure it, to cling to it, to grow in it, so that we are in a position to pass it on to many. And Mary, our mother, and we call you seat of wisdom, wisdom incarnate, in a sense, sat on your lap. You brought the truth and the way and the life into the world. Help us to find that truth. Help us to hear the word of God and keep it as you did. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.